You're listening to a July 2014 podcast from the Institute for Research in Poverty at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I'm Dave Chancellor. For this podcast, we're going to be talking with Maria Rendon of UC Irvine School of Social Ecology. Rendon visited IRP this May and gave a seminar on second-generation young men in the inner city, mostly Mexican Americans, and their attitudes about making it in America. For this study, Rendon did several interviews in two different time periods with a group of young men from a neighborhood in Los Angeles who were born in the U.S. but have immigrant parents. For one thing, this is a group that's growing in size. Also, there's a lot we don't know about their attitudes, especially given the setbacks that many in this group have faced during the Great Recession. So let's turn to Professor Rendon to talk about what she learned from the men that she talked to as part of her study.
There's a lot of concern with what's happening with males in particular in the urban context. And immigration scholars have proposed a number of theories about what may be happening. One of these very popular theories is this concept of downward assimilation. And whereas in the past we saw immigrants, you know, do better over time and across generations, what we're seeing here with the post-1965 immigrant population is a diversification. People are taking different paths. And so some people, some immigrant groups are doing really well. Some of them are struggling. And the Mexican origin group is one of these groups that raises a lot of concern because within the second generation, you see, you know, things like high dropout rates, higher incarceration rates, teenage parenthood is still an issue. And so this has raised concerns about where they're heading, the extent to which they will successfully move up relative to their parents and integrate into the larger society.
Although Mexican-American immigrant families and their second-generation children have settled across the United States, there's a big group that lives in America's largest cities. And so scholars have become interested in how this urban context affects the acculturation process for the Latino population.
And so what my research does is really trying to have a conversation, trying to encourage a conversation between immigration scholars who have been asking these questions about how groups adapt, and urban poverty scholars who have spent a lot of time thinking about how neighborhoods matter, urban contexts matter. That body of literature focuses primarily on African Americans, and for very obvious reasons. But now we have, you know, changing cities with the rise of immigration and increasingly the Latino population being very second generation. And so, you know, my research is asking this question of how young men are adapting in the inner city. And there's been some literature on the second generation and their and how they are an optimistic population, in part because they're the children of immigrants. And immigrants are a select group of individuals who come, you know, they migrate to this country thinking about, you know, advancing and doing well. And so they're a very motivated group of people. And so the idea is that the second generation picks up on that motivation. And the question is, does that hold for the second generation in urban contexts that are very challenged?
The young men that Rendon talked to come from a neighborhood in L.A. where there are high rates of poverty and where violence is a frequent threat. For the study, Rendon initially interviewed a broad range of these men with a mix of educational backgrounds over the course of a year and got to know them and their parents.
A third of these guys from these neighborhoods were high school dropouts, basically non-completers. High school non-completers is what I call them. And a third of these guys were college kids from these neighborhoods, kids who went on to four-year universities from these same neighborhoods. And another third were mostly, you know, high school graduates, sort of in between. And I purposely sampled that way because oftentimes when we do look at inner city young men, we tend to think about a subgroup in the inner city. So we tend to think about the young men who are, you know, engaging in crime and violence. We tend to think about maybe only the high school dropouts. But in these communities, we see a diversity of young men, and some of them are very much attached to the labor market. Some of them are trying to go to college. And oftentimes when we have a conversation about urban youth, we miss that.
Rendon had the opportunity to interview these men twice, before and after the recent recession. One of the things Rendon was interested in finding out was how they had fared during the recession and whether it had an effect on the optimism she had previously observed.
What I find is that you know, I studied these guys in 2007, trying to really understand how the neighborhood mattered. I followed them, followed up with them 5 years later. Now they're kind of just figure out how they weathered the recession and finding jobs and these sorts of things. And what I find is that they are still very optimistic, for the most part. And I think that this goes back to this immigrant background, this immigrant narrative that a lot of them embrace. And for a lot of them, they look towards their parents, and they look, in particular the guys, they look towards their fathers or father figures. And they look at, you know, where they started, where those their parents started, and how far they've gotten. And, you know, even for immigrant families, most immigrants, I also interviewed immigrants as part of the study, and so their parents. So most of them talk about very challenging times here in the United States, obviously, but there's also a sense of mobility. And there is this narrative that if you work hard, right, in the United States, you can get ahead, even if it's a little bit, right? And so the young men hold on to that. Hold on to this idea, well, you know, my father, you know, was coming from dire poverty, and here at least, you know, maybe he purchased a home, it may be in the roughest part of town, but that's an accomplishment.
Rendon says that a lot of the men she talked to felt this sense of responsibility, that if their parents were able to purchase a home and raise children, for example, that they should be able to do more because of their comparative advantage of having been born in the United States. But Rendon points out that their parents mostly came to the U.S. in the late 70s and in the 80s, and the economy was different then. It's not yet clear how this second-generation group will fare over the long term, particularly since they're entering the labor force at a time when a lot of young people are having difficulty finding good jobs.
So when I did go back and look at to see how these guys were doing, the majority were still living in their neighborhoods, and they were living with their parents. And what I saw with the, and they were, you know, a lot of them were having a hard time during the recession, right, finding jobs, or they lost a job. And so they were having a hard time getting by.
One of the interesting things she found was the difficulty that some of the men had in translating a college degree into a good job.
Figuring out where they land and what kind of jobs are there for them proves to be very difficult for that population. A lot of them end up going back to their neighborhood ties, to their kin ties, to for a job during these difficult times. And so, for example, I have these two guys who are both working for a Bank of America, you know, as bank tellers. One was a college-educated guy from the neighborhood, and another one was a high school dropout from the neighborhood. You know, this raises the question about not necessarily the value of education, because all of these young men would say, yes, it's worth going to college, but how do you then translate that to a job when you don't have the social networks, when you have had maybe going to college as a first-generation young man, college-going young man from a poor background, you know, racial minority, you have all these things that make you kind of different from the typical college student. And these young men often, they get their degrees, they struggle, most of them struggle to kind of get their degrees. But in most cases, they're not socially integrated, right, with the larger college population, which means that they forgo on the opportunities of maybe getting to know people who could perhaps link them with a job. They end up going back to their kind of the ties that they know.
Rendon says that as a country, we have a lot riding on how well these second-generation young Latino men are able to integrate into the mainstream labor market and find decent jobs. And while immigrants and the undocumented group have gotten a lot of press in the last few years, this U.S.-born group is both larger and faster growing, and there's an ongoing story of assimilation here. Rendon says that thinking about how these young men can bridge out of neighborhood situations in which poverty and violence hold sway and into middle-class lives will be an important policy question looking forward. Thanks to Marie Rendon for taking the time to talk about this work with us. For more information, check out her recent paper on urban violence and peer ties in the February 2014 issue of Social Problems. You've been listening to a podcast from the Institute for Research on Poverty.